Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, into the door of the crypt that is the studio of 96.9 FM. I am the Crypt Creeper.
Crypt Creeper?
I am the Crypt Creeper. Derek Benigni joining me, Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, as we head into my favorite time of year and All Hallows Eve and beautiful day out there on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Michael Shockley, how are you doing?
You just like Halloween because it's your birthday.
It's also my wedding anniversary.
So wait, it's your birthday and your wedding anniversary.
And Halloween.
And Halloween.
Yep.
You are weird.
Yeah. yes, I am. One of
so
our...
you decided a holiday and your birthday wasn't enough. You just had to get married on Halloween, too.
Well, of course. It's all about me.
Well,
so there you go.
It's true, but see, you got to consider, you get some Halloween loving. You get, well, maybe not Halloween. That's not one of those holidays.
No,
but you
it
get
isn't.
Some birthday loving and some anniversary loving, and you combine those two.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't think that out
I
very
did
well.
Not. No, I did not. Hmm. So... three times a year, whether I need it or not. It's the rule of our household. Anyways, since our last show.
Oh, I'm so glad Andy Fuller's right down the hallway to hear this, the way we kick this off. So last week, the Icemen finalized their season opening roster. A few moves of note right before the season began. They signed a forward named Matt Hussey, a 36-year-old veteran entering his 13th pro season.
No relation to my wife.
He has 21 NHL games played, also 381 AHL games played with 167 points. So not an offensive juggernaut, but decent numbers. And we'll see what he's got left in the tank at 36 years old in the ECHL against all these high-flying kiddos that are about half his age.
Well, I don't think that's as much of an issue. If you can think the game, you can play faster than what your body allows. And we saw it for years with Sam Fatoruk, who was a forward many years ago and transitioned to defense and played on some fantastic Kalamazoo Wings teams. So, and after last year, any veteran leadership that we can have that is any value of character and common sense, we will embrace
right.
for this hockey club. So I like the move entirely.
I do too. And he looked good in the opener, I think.
This one's my favorite
one's
of
interesting.
The year.
Yes, the New York Rangers, not an affiliate of the Icemen, sent us defenseman Samuel Noreau, a 22-year-old big defenseman.
And he plays big, too. Been watching him for a long time.
6'5", 227 pounds. This is the third and final year of his NHL entry-level contract. He has played nine games in the AHL, but so far his pro career has been mainly in the ECHL with the Greenville Road Warriors
yes.
at the time.
Yep.
128 games played in the E. Only 21 points, but 204 penalty minutes, which, yes, plays big.
He plays big. Any rumor, any truth to the rumor that in his contract it said, I will not be a swamp rabbit? And that's how we got him?
You never know.
Because I would respect a man that put that into his contract.
Yeah. Their ECHL affiliate is Greenville, and their AHL affiliate is Hartford. I'm not entirely sure why. Maybe they just didn't have room for him in Greenville, or he decided he wanted a fresh start somewhere else, or what. So
he didn't want to be a swamp rabbit.
That could be it. Another move, the Binghamton Senators, who are our affiliates, sent us forward Ryan Penny. He's one of the guys that we discussed a few episodes ago that could be coming from our affiliates, and now he's here. 21-year-old who played 5 years of major junior hockey in the Q, peaked last season with 70 points in 66 games, and he served as his team captain the past two seasons.
Again, more leadership, we'll take it.
Yep, he played in the opener. Some changes in net. As expected, Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, has returned from injury in Ottawa, which means Matt O'Connor was returned from Ottawa to Binghamton, which means Scott Grenham has been sent to the Icemen, and he started in net at the home opener on Saturday. Another move in net, the Icemen acquired goaltender Keegan Asmundson from the Orlando Solar Bears for future considerations. He's another big body, 6'5", 220 pounds. Turned pro at the end of last season after playing 4 years of college hockey at Canisius, which is an NCAA D1 school. As a senior there, he had a stellar stat line, about 196 goals against average and a 930 save percentage. And then last year at the tail end of the season, he turned pro, played 3 games in the E with South Carolina, had a 167 goals against average and a 925 save percentage, and he earned his first professional shutout in just his second professional start, ironically enough, against the Evansville Icemen on March 29th.
Well, and that South Carolina Stingrays team was a pretty solid
team. Yeah, they were all right from the net out.
So if Jeff Jachytis would have been in that game on March 29th, he might have been held the Icemen to a -3.
Yeah, no kidding. And some final cuts of note that did not make the opening day roster. Goaltender Brandon Kamm was sort of the odd man out with all the goalie moves. Radoslav Ilo, the Slovak who was here in camp, and a lot of people were impressed with him in the
exhibition game.
Exhibition. But he did not make the cut. We cut him. That was one of those deals where we cut him, and another team wanted to claim him off waivers, but they couldn't because of visa issues. So the Icemen actually re-signed him and immediately traded him to Tulsa. So he is now with the Oilers. Also not making the cut, Robin Sudek was a bit of a surprise.
That was a surprise. Not sure what's going on there, but Al Sims decided to part ways, but very talented forward, so yeah. We'll see.
Put it this way, we hope, we are of the belief that Al Sims knows what he's doing.
Yes, and definitely. I know Al Sims knows what he's doing.
If he knows what he's doing and he feels confident that this team can move forward and be better without a guy of Robin Sudek's talent, that probably bodes well for us going forward.
Yes, indeed.
And speaking of one of those guys that if we can be better without him, it hopefully is a good omen. Donnie Harris, his time with the Icemen, at least for now, has come to a close. 15 games shy of breaking the franchise record for games played. We'll see.
16 games shy of getting his number retired into the rafters.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were unhappy with it, but as I said when it was announced, well, I said before it was announced that we need to prepare ourselves that he might be getting cut, and once it happened, I said, you know, if we're in a situation where we can cut Donnie Harris and be a better hockey team for it, then that's a good thing. But you could do a lot worse than Donnie Harris on your third defensive pairing.
Yes, and this may surprise you, but there was a little bit of drama in the Maniacs Asylum.
Wait, what?
Yes, there was some name calling and everything else, but truthfully, at this point in our ECHL career, and I know some of the people that were writing some of the stuff, not, you can't be surprised by this stuff anymore.
No.
You really can't, and yes, even between Sunday and Wednesday when the roster is announced officially, and even after Wednesday when the roster is officially sent into the ECHL before a game on Saturday, there's going to be changes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the great collection pot of the NHL, the AHL, and the SPHL. Mm-hmm. All these players are being filtered down. All these players are being pushed up And this is where, and this has the tightest roster limit of all of them. So there's always going to be tough decisions that are going to be made when the official roster is announced before the season and up to the first game and after the first game. The Icemen have a very friendly practice schedule where they play the next three Saturdays. They only play three games in October. They're all on Saturday night, so they have a week off in between games. We're going to see five, six, seven more transactions before this team hits November, and we just have to accept it.
And Sims has to like the fact that that schedule is light, because then you have more practice time,
yes,
especially with all of the changes, to get new guys up and running, and you're not sort of learning on the fly.
You can actually work guys in practice. I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but this isn't the NFL. We don't have 6 weeks of training camp.
No.
You learn on the fly, even at the NHL level.
Right.
There are teams up that, you know, look at Columbus.
Boy.
What a horrible season they're having. And people, you know, look at Anaheim. They scored one goal in four games. These teams are just beginning to put their systems into place, and
right.
It takes all through November. That's why, traditionally speaking, not this year, my Maple Leafs play so well in October and November, because no one's worked on defense or offense. And then once December hits, it's a whole different league. So just have to accept it, folks, that your roster is going to change week in and week out throughout October.
And remember, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Last season, the Icemen were the last team in the ECHL to lose their first regulation game.
Yeah, there you go.
And we know how that turned out.
Exactly.
So, yeah, if people aren't used to the changes by now, they're never going to be used to the changes. It's just, you have to get used to it. We always say it. It's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. You can like the individual guys all you want, but you should never be surprised when they're not here anymore.
Well, and the ECHL is such a fantastic league. You got to follow them. You got to follow a Nathan Moon in Colorado. You got to follow a Donnie Harris wherever he goes. You got to enjoy a Mike Seidel in his second year in Elmira. Mm-hmm. You just have to remember them as Icemen and keep following them. The ECHL has got a great website, great radio broadcasters, and ECHL TV that you can zoom in on any of these guys anytime you want.
You just follow them wherever they go.
Yeah, and you're going to have to get used to doing that, because they are not staying here in town for longer than 2 years. The Nathan Beaulieus and the Donnie Harrises are the rare ones.
Nathan Beaulieu?
Oh, Nathan
you combined
Beaulieu.
Nathan Moon and Josh Beaulieu got the NHL player?
Yes, exactly. I was thinking that Josh Beaulieu. I had the Montreal Canadiens defenseman, Nathan Beaulieu. So
anyway.
And we got some captains named.
We do. The captain of the Icemen for this season is Jarrett Lucan, a good choice, I believe.
I agree 100%.
And we're going to do four rotating alternate captains this year.
I like this system. I really do like the road captain and the home
captain. And you're seeing more NHL teams do this, too. So it's not like this is totally outside the box. The four alternates are Dalton Levier, Matt Hussey, no relation to your wife.
No relation.
Spencer Humphreys, and Jonathan Carlson. So you got a nice mix of forwards and defense, old guys, younger guys.
So, and it's all about the tone in the locker room.
Right.
And just because you get a letter on your sweater, you got to live up to that now. And everyone handles it different. Some guys are the call you out in the locker room, and some guys are the lead by example. But that's the next step is how well does this leadership team work to keep all the guys happy and healthy and believing in the system and moving on.
And on the flip side, we've said it before, just because you don't have a letter on your jersey doesn't mean you can't speak up and be a leader in the room, too. So it works both ways.
In my Icemen season, one of the most fantastic guys was Dylan Clark. He was injured, couldn't play for the first half of the season because he had that hip surgery. Mm-hmm. And he came back, and he didn't have a letter on his sweater, but he led both verbally and by example and just a fantastic player. And, boy, did he have a nice Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second.
Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you want Icemen information? We've got your Icemen information, IcemenManiacs.com, and it is the place to find all the latest Icemen transactions so that you can cry and whine and post it on the Maniac Asylum so that the janitor over there, Chris Phillips, it is officially, that's what I was told that his position is,
janitor.
But roster news, transactions, health status of all your Evansville Icemen, IcemenManiacs.com. Just visit the Maniac message board to get all the details you need. So on Saturday night, the Icemen opened the season against the Indy Fuel.
Yes, they took it on the chin, lost 3-1. Did outshoot them 34-29, and in general, I thought they looked pretty good. Did you go?
No, I did not go. I was too darn tired. My life is not very good right now.
So
my life actually is really good, but I work way too dang much.
So the Fuel, their first goal was on a 3-on-2, and one of the two was a forward who was back on defense. So that never works out well. One of their goals
forwards suck.
One of their goals was a power play goal, and their third was an empty netter. The Iceman goal, the lone Iceman goal, was scored by Joe Zarbo, who I thought looked really good.
Yeah, and he's one of the guys that we circled in the training camp roster that he had to lead the way.
Yeah, and it was a sick backhander. It was one of those shots where he wrapped around behind the net and was turning back through the slot, turning away from the net, and backhanded it. And it was top shelf, beautiful goal scorer's goal. Also looking good, I thought Matthew Zay looked really good, and all 5'7" of him, Tyson Fawcett, one of those Peter Sakaris style water bug kind of guys who doesn't really realize that he's only 5'7" and goes around hitting guys that are 6'5" and it seems like he's always around the puck. He's going to be fun to watch if he can stay healthy. I thought they both had really good speed, good energy. Zay had a rush up the ice where he just undressed a defenseman and went right around him. Really impressive burst, and it's nice to see that kind of speed because we didn't have a lot of that last year. We also had better speed on defense. I thought overall the D-Core looked much improved over last season. We might actually have the talent on defense to win some low-scoring games this year. Seemed like last year if we...
I don't think it was a talent issue last year. It was a commitment issue.
Well, there were all kinds of issues last year. But I think we could win some 2-1 and 3-2 kind of games. Last year, if we only scored one or two goals, we were toast. This year,
that was because Chris Dreiger was a horrible goaltender.
Right, exactly.
Terrible.
So, yeah, if we only score one or two goals this year, I think we've got a legitimate shot to win games. And you know, throw out the empty netter, we only gave up two.
Yep.
And we were in the game till the end. I think there are some things. There's obviously some things when you lose your home opener that are still going to need to improve. The power play struggled a lot. And some of the kids, and there are a lot of them on this roster, it's just going to take them time to adjust to the pro game. You know, when you come out of college or juniors and you've always been the big man on campus and the best player on your team and able to manipulate everyone else on the ice, you get to the pros, it's a rude awakening when you can't do that anymore. It takes you time to figure out that those little dipsy doodle moves and the little fancy stuff that you got away with in amateur ain't going to happen in the pros. So I think they'll be fine. There were a couple times on Saturday that Chris Carlisle, one of the defensemen who was sent down from above, was just trying to get too fancy on the power play and do stuff that you can't do at the pro level. You're going to get burned, and he got burned a couple times, but he'll figure it out, and you know, talent is going to go a long way. They just have to get a little experience and realize that they might have to adjust the way they play at this level because it's a different ball game.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep. As mentioned earlier, there were a couple of fights in the game on Saturday, and both of them involved the feisty former Iceman, Dylan Clark. He had a bug up his butt on Saturday.
Yeah, he must have been making a statement. And
yeah.
He's a solid performer. He's a power forward. And did you happen to check out his hands, the pictures that he posted on Facebook?
No.
Oh,
beat up, were they?
Yeah, they were looking Joey Kosher-esque.
I would imagine. There was a lot of knuckles on helmet going on. So, yeah. And the final note about the game on Saturday, official announced attendance was 6,915. So of our predictions last week, I was closest. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. After you whined about having to go first.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So the previous four home openers at the Ford Center all drew over 8,700. So a precipitous drop this season. Let's hope that is not a trend that continues.
Why? So you get paid for it?
No.
So,
but I like to see the team succeed and you know, remain in business.
We got blue goals from Geico now. Attendance doesn't mean anything.
Golly. That's true. Oh, yeah, you didn't see that.
I did
there.
Not see it, but boy, I got to listen to Johnny Kells explain the rule to me for about 7 hours yesterday. John, it's minor league hockey. This is how teams stay in business, is being able to make a few thousand dollars on the side.
I'll tell you.
Who cares?
I'm not a fan of it. I think it looks silly, but
It's money. Yeah. At this level, it's all that matters.
If it means
the NHL is never going to have blue goalposts.
No.
But
At this level,
yeah,
you do what you got to do.
Because I would rather see a team with blue goalposts than not being in existence anymore.
Right.
San Francisco Bulls, Las Vegas Wranglers.
Yeah.
We've seen quite a few
teams
fold just in our 3 years in the league.
So. Well, and if it prevents Brian Vaughl from selling six more ads to put on the damn jerseys, let's call it a win.
There you go. Shockers, Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
So yesterday, Tuesday the 20th of October, here's another one for the It's Going to Make You Feel Old file. Tom Petty turned 65. He's now eligible for AARP. So this is a tune that was always a fun intermission sing-along song when I was spinning the tunes at Swander, because people would... It's amazing. You put a little alcohol in people and watch them belt out the chorus to this song. This is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Free Fallin'.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. The vampires walking through the valley move west down Ventura Boulevard, and all the bad boys are standing in the shadows, and the good girls are home with broken hearts.
Free falling. Do You Think has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, You Think has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our You Think family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we are back. The Shocker. The Dirty D. 96.9 FM. Wired Radio.
Psst.
Upcoming games.
Boy, that was a seamless transition there. Dead silence. People were confused, thinking the stream
you
died
got,
again.
You got to build again. Wow. You got to build up the anticipation level.
We're recording this. I'm just assuming it probably went down once or twice.
We are
during,
not recording. We are pre-living.
Yes. So, taking a look at the next few weeks, because we're not going to be here the next few weeks, but we'll get to that in a minute. This Saturday, the 24th, the Icemen host the Toledo Walleye at 7:15.
Good chance it'll snow that night.
Back to the Future night with specialty jerseys that are awesome, and they will be auctioned off after the game, and they announced at the home opener that the proceeds will go to Riley Hospital for Children.
Fantastic.
Up in Indy, which is an excellent, yep, excellent cause. And then the Icemen get another week off, as you mentioned earlier. The next game after that is on Halloween night, your birthday and anniversary, at Greenville against the Swamp Rabbits.
Swamp Rabbit Stew.
Yep. And then the next day, Sunday, November 1st, at South Carolina. So it's the first southern or southeastern road trip of the season.
I did that a few years ago. It's a really nice trip, especially in November. Oh, it's nice.
I'm sure, yeah. Before it, I'm sure it's nice any time of the year.
Yeah,
it's always
nice.
Going to be warmer there than it is here. Yep. And then the Icemen return home Wednesday, the 4th, against the Indy Fuel at 9:30 a.m. for the annual Education Day game, which is always awesome, as we talked about last week.
Yep, hopefully we can steal one there. Hopefully Indy's still asleep before they realize it. And maybe this year we'll have more than three guys on the bench because we'll have our skates sharpened.
Huh.
Remember that debacle from last year?
Yeah, so...
That was a beauty.
Yeah, let's hope so. And then the Indy Fuel stay here for a couple days, and Friday the 6th.
Whoa.
What?
Where's the Hoosier belt at?
I haven't done it yet.
What does that mean?
I may or may not do it.
Whether you have done it or not doesn't mean it isn't moving. Who had the championship last year?
Fort Wayne ended up with it last year.
So Fort Wayne brings it into this season,
no.
And no one's played them yet. What?
Each season is independent. You start over from scratch.
That makes no sense. What rules?
Make up your damn intercontinental belt.
Did you just say damn on the Christian radio station?
That's a lot better than some of the other stuff we say. Damn, D-A-M.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in wrestling, you said the whole thing was based on wrestling. Hulk Hogan didn't give it back at the end of the year.
If he is injured. If you don't defend it for more than a month, it's stripped. That's a wrestling rule.
That's fine.
So, yes, Wednesday the 4th is Education Day. The Fuel stay here, and on Friday the 6th, the Fuel are here again, 7:15 that night. And then the Icemen go on the road November 7th at Cincinnati, and this is a really cool thing they're doing with the Cyclones. They are doing the Cure Starts Now night. The Cyclones will wear special number 22 warm-up jerseys in honor of late ESPY winner Lauren Hill, who was born in southeastern Indiana near Cincinnati, and she lived in Cincinnati until she lost her battle with brain cancer this past April. The jerseys will be auctioned off after the game, and all of the proceeds will benefit the Cure Starts Now. So that's a very cool cause.
Yep, that's a fantastic thing that Cincinnati's doing. The Dangling Tangent.
Oh, we have time for it this
week. We do.
Okay, so quick, easy question.
Yes.
What's the worst injury you've ever sustained?
Quick, easy answer. Broken penis.
Is that really the worst?
That groin injury that I got when I toe-picked myself figure skating, and it messed me up for a long time. I couldn't even do a sit-up. My groin, lower abdominals were messed up so bad, I couldn't do anything. And I was on steroids. I was going through all kinds of rehab and everything else, and it took me a solid 4 months to heal from that. So anytime anyone, and it wasn't even a tear or anything, it was just a strain. Mm. So there is no such thing as a minor concussion, and there is no such thing as a minor groin strain. So that is I broke my leg as a kid, and this is worse. So that concussion I had was pretty bad too.
Concussions are not fun. I've had a few of those, and
but I got better from the concussion faster than I got better from the groin strain.
I believe that, yep. Especially if you haven't had many concussions. If once you have them, they start to yep. snowball and get worse. But yeah, concussions are brutal. But yes, groin strains are no fun either. Yeah.
So what's your worst injury?
It involved both a concussion and what probably was some sort of fracture that I never actually got checked out. It was when USI's club hockey team was still in existence. I was on the ice helping them at practice run drills and stuff. And one of the players who wasn't paying attention skated right in front of me when I wasn't wearing a helmet or pads or anything, because I was just out there helping. And ran into him at full speed in the middle of a drill because he wasn't paying attention, and I was, you know, running the drill. And my bare head bounced off of his helmet, and my leg went sideways in a direction it's not supposed to go in when it hit his leg. And yeah, I was in spots at Swander, and it was not good. It was I was limping for probably a month and a half before I finally got back to where I could walk without significant pain. But I was right out of college, and I didn't have insurance worth a crap, so I never went and got it checked out. But I'm 90% sure it was some sort of fracture. I just never got X-ray confirmation.
Former NHLer Jeff O'Neill was on the radio just this week talking about he doesn't do any coaching at the youth levels because he's a grown man and he doesn't want to wear a helmet. And my brother and I were joking about it, and I said he obviously doesn't work with American teenagers, because the reason you wear a helmet out there isn't because you're a grown man. It's because a lot of hockey players, all it takes is one stupid hockey player for
right.
you to get hurt.
Exactly.
Even if you're doing everything
it's
right.
It's like driving in the snow. Even if you can drive in the snow really well,
yeah.
it's the other people you got to worry about.
Final thoughts.
Next show, tentatively, maybe in 3 weeks, November 11th, we'll see. We are definitely off the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Amusement Park is off next week.
Yes, because you're out of town.
And then we will resume in November, but as far as Iceman Insights go, we are looking at, we're not sure yet.
Yeah, maybe November 11th, if not the week after that, probably. So, yeah, it's going to be a little break here, but soon.
Real work happens.
Yep.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com. You have been listening to Iceman Insights on WYIR 96.9 FM for all of your Iceman needs or wants, from schedules to rosters to trades. IcemanManiacs.com.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.